理课堂听 class.com。
The two Baudelaires looked at one another in confusion. Like many pledges, the Snow Scout alphabet pledge had not made much sense, and Violet and Klaus tried to imagine how a scout could be calm and meek at the same time as being frisky and jumping, or how all these children could avoid being young or human, even if they wanted to. They couldn't figure out why the pledge suggested being all these things every morning, every afternoon, and every night, and then added all day long, or why the word xylophone appeared in the pledge at all. But they did not have much time to wonder, because when the pledge was over, the Snow Scouts all took a big breath and made a long, airy sound, as if they were imitating the wind outside, and this seemed even more strange.
"That's my favourite part,"
said the voice of the grown man, when the sound faded away. "There's nothing like ending the Snow Scout alphabet pledge with a snowy sound. Now, approach, travellers, so we can get a look at you."
"Let's keep the coat over our faces," Klaus whispered to his sister. "Carmelita might recognise us." "And the other scouts have probably seen our pictures in the Daily Punctilio," Violet said, and ducked her head underneath the coat.
The Daily Punctilio was a newspaper that had published a story blaming the three Baudelaires for Jacques Snicket's murder. The story was utter nonsense, of course, but it seemed that everyone in the world had believed it and was searching for the Baudelaires to put them in jail. As the two siblings walked toward the voices of the Snow Scouts, however, they realized they weren't the only ones concealing their faces. The back of the cave was like a large circular room, with very high ceilings and craggy walls of rock that flickered in the orange light of the flames. Seated in a circle around the fire were 15 or 20 people, all looking up at the two Baudelaires. Through the fabric of the coat, the children could see that one person was much taller than the others, this was probably Bruce, and was wearing an ugly plaid coat and holding a large cigar. On the opposite side of the circle was someone wearing a thick wool sweater with several large pockets, and the rest of the Snow Scouts were wearing bright white uniforms with enormous zippers down the front and emblems of snowflakes in all different sizes and shapes along the long, puffy sleeves. On the back of the uniforms, the Baudelaires could see the words of the Snow Scout alphabet pledge printed in large pink letters, and on the top of everyone's heads were white headbands with tiny plastic snowflakes sticking out of the top in all directions, and the word brrr written in icy script. But Violet and Klaus weren't looking at the plastic flurries of snow on the Snow Scouts' heads, or the accommodating, basic, calm, darling, emblematic, frisky, grinning, human, innocent, jumping, kept, limited, meek, nap-loving, official, pretty, quarantine, recent, scheduled, tidy, understandable, victorious, wholesome, xylophone, young and zippered uniforms that most everyone was wearing. They were looking at the dark, round masks that were covering the scouts' faces. The masks were covered in tiny holes, much like masks worn for fencing, a sport in which people sword fight for fun rather than for honour or in order to rescue a writer who has been taped to the wall. But in the flickering light of the cave, the Baudelaires could not see the holes, and it looked like the faces of Bruce and the Snow Scouts had vanished, leaving a dark and empty hole above their necks.
"You cake sniffers look ridiculous," said one of the Scouts,
and the Baudelaires knew at once which masked figure was Carmelita Spatz.
"Your faces are all covered up." "We're meek," Violet said, thinking quickly. "In fact, we're so meek that we hardly ever show our faces."
"Then you'll fit in just fine," said Bruce from behind his mask. "The name's Bruce. But you can call me Uncle Bruce, although I'm almost certainly not your real uncle. Welcome to the Snow Scouts, travellers, where all of us are meek In fact, we're accommodating basic calm.
The other snow scouts all joined in the pledge, and the two elder Baudelaires stood through another rendition of the absurd list, while the scout in the sweater stood up and stepped toward them.
"We have some spare masks over there," he murmured quietly, and gestured toward a large pile of equipment stacked beside a very long wooden pole. "They'll keep the snow gnats away when you go back outside. Help yourself."
"Thank you,"
Violet replied, as the scouts promised to be kept limited and meek.